At a service today at Trinity Church in Manhattan, the Lord Mayor of London will present a bell of hope to the city of New York. The bell will be placed in the churchyard of St. Paul's Chapel, which served as a relief center for recovery workers. Trinity Church, at the intersection of Broadway and Wall Street, and St. Paul's Chapel, a few blocks away, form the historic Trinity Parish, the oldest Episcopal parish in New York. Founded in 1697, Trinity has seen a lot of history, but perhaps nothing touched it so deeply as the events of a year ago. NPR's Lynn Neary reports.
For a long time last year, Trinity Church was silent, but now music has returned. One rainy afternoon recently, the church was filled to capacity for a midday concert. Trinity has long been known for its music, so the silence that prevailed in the months after September 11th was a sure measure of how the life of the parish had changed. Now, a year later, listening to the music fill the church, staring at its highly polished wooden pews and its gleaming stained glass windows, it is almost impossible to comprehend what people tell you about that day and the days that followed. Reverend Daniel Matthews, the parish rector, remembers the moments after the first tower fell.
Our building soon filled with smoke because the air conditioning unit on the roof sucked all that dust in and just put it into every hallway and every office. So we suddenly began to try to get out of the building, get down to the basement where the children were being safely held from our preschool, and grab a child and get out. And then it was just chaos after that, running for your life in the street with the dust falling, things falling on you. It was terrifying.
After reuniting the children with their parents, everyone scattered to safe corners, uncertain just how much damage had been done. When music director Owen Burdick returned to Trinity Church, he found the entire sanctuary and all its offices covered in a layer of dust that had the consistency of sludge. The substance had destroyed the parish's four organs, and the church itself was unusable. So the parish held its first service in a borrowed church.
Our first Sunday back, when we were worshiping in the afternoon, we performed an a cappella piece by Herbert Howells called Take Him Earth for Cherishing, and that was amazing. I remember it was electrifying.
The music, written to commemorate the death of John F. Kennedy, speaks of fallen heroes. The service, says Burdick, was unexpectedly uplifting.
In a certain funny kind of way, it was like maybe sort of what the early Christians felt like, you know. I mean, here we were having to sort of worship almost in not in secrecy, but, you know, I mean, we'd been displaced. I mean, mighty Trinity Church, you know, was not functioning, and so we had to go off someplace else. It was remarkable. It really was a sense of community that I don't think we've ever felt in this congregation.
But the real miracle for the parish happened at St. Paul's, the chapel where George Washington used to worship. The only thing that separates St. Paul's from Ground Zero is one of Lower Manhattan's narrow streets. And though it, too, was covered in dust and scattered debris, St. Paul's was largely undamaged. Reverend Gay Ann Silver says a ministry for the recovery workers at Ground Zero sprang up overnight.
The fact that the building was standing intact, you know, was like some carved stones, you know, here minister to these people.
It began with volunteers cooking hamburgers outside the chapel for the police, firefighters, and construction workers. Then the weather got cold and they moved indoors. Volunteers poured in from all over the city and country. The ministry just kept growing.
We had dry socks for them and sweatshirts and t-shirts and welcome, and there were therapists there giving massages and foot doctors taking care of aching feet and cots for sleeping and places to gather and talk and, of course, prayer in the midst of it.
Perhaps most importantly, St. Paul's became a place where the workers could begin to deal with the emotional toll of the recovery effort.
And in the beginning, you know, everybody was so brave, you know, and there was real strength and valor, and we can do this. And within a few weeks, that went to where if you said to somebody, how's the soup today, they would just start to cry.
By Christmas, St. Paul's volunteer effort was at a peak, and Trinity Church had reopened. But no one expected that an annual holiday ritual would take place, the singing of Handel's Messiah. It was only when a local classical station offered to help defray the cost of the event that the Messiah went forward. It was, says music director Owen Burdick, like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
I mean, at the end of it, I was just, I mean, the choir was in tears, the concertmaster was in tears. I couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable how powerful it was.
As things began to take on a semblance of normalcy at Trinity Church, the relief ministry at St. Paul's continued. But at the end of May, the chapel was closed for renovations. Now, it has been fully restored, with one exception: the pews that the workers from Ground Zero used as makeshift beds. The decision to leave them untouched was quite deliberate, says Trinity's rector, Reverend Matthews.
It is one of the most moving things to see this pristine, beautifully clean and polished building, and then to look at the pews and see the scuff marks all over them, and to realize every one of those scuff marks represents some exhausted police officer, a firefighter, coming in there, grabbing an hour nap, a two-hour nap, and feeling so exhausted and so comfortable in that space that he didn't worry that his shoes were banging up against the pews.
Yesterday, a special exhibit opened at the chapel, a tribute to the workers and volunteers who spent so many hours there. And the Trinity Choir began rehearsing this week for today's Evensong service, when the specially cast Bell of Hope from the City of London will be given to Trinity. It will stand as a symbol of both remembrance and hope in the churchyard of St. Paul's. Lynn Neary, NPR News, New York.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.